Lucas on Life.
Hello, welcome to Lucas on Life here on Premier Christian Radio. I hope that you have had a blessed Christmas. Last week, we were thinking about Joseph, the husband to Mary, and I made the comment that he is the ultimate unsung hero. If the Oscars were being handed out, he would only get Best Supporting Actor. And this week, I'd like to continue to think about him. And you might be thinking, well, Christmas has passed now. But the story of the Nativity is not just for the Christmas season. And then the story of Joseph, as we'll see, it goes beyond the birth of Jesus for at very least 12 years. So let's think about this man, Joseph, who the Bible describes as a righteous man. There's one aspect to his story, and to Mary's story too, that we can overlook. Joseph is told that he should go ahead and get married to Mary, and so they do. But we read in Matthew chapter 1 and verse 25 that they have no union together until she gave birth to a son. They get married, and they surely enter into their marriage with all of the normal sexual anticipation that newlyweds would feel. But there's no wedding night. There's no honeymoon for a while. Ensuring that the status of the virginal conception of Jesus was protected, Joseph and Mary wait until after he's born, until they begin a normal married life together. And in that, they're a model of the most unusual self-control and discipline. Now, if I may say gently to my friends from a Catholic background, that there's no suggestion here in Scripture a doctrine of Mary's perpetual virginity, because Jesus had younger brothers and sisters. We read about them in Matthew 12 and 13 and Mark chapter 3. What I want to focus on for a few moments is the truth that both Mary and Joseph exercise such incredible self-control. In our culture, it seems that most of us humans have sent up a white flag of unconditional surrender to one of the most powerful persuasive forces in the universe, and that's our own hormones. In our just-do-it culture, the very notion of chastity, now that is an old-fashioned word, the idea that a woman or a man might choose to go into marriage as virgins who have saved themselves for a lifelong partner, that's an idea that can be met with raised eyebrows. Self-indulgence is apparently the order of the day. Historically, even the saintly St. Augustine prayed once, "O Lord, give me chastity, but not yet." And there can be this notion that if you're not sexually active prior to marriage, well, how sad, even pathetic are you? Even the suggestion that abstinence might be bad for you. Our sexuality is a powerful, God-given, beautiful force, but we're not to be at the mercy of it, but rather to be masters of ourselves with God's help as we submit daily to Jesus. We don't live under the mantra of just do it. And of course, that's true as well for this Christmas and New Year season, when we can eat too much, drink too much, spend too much. Research suggests that the average time to pay off Christmas debt is around 5 months. And too often we can hear the encouragement, "Go on, it's Christmas, it's New Year, go on." So let's consider the challenge. Where are we out of control? We need to take responsibility for our own discipleship, our own lives, and walk in daily obedience and, yes, surrender to what Jesus wants. I want to suggest that being righteous includes being sensitive to God's leading and being quickly and readily obedient. Because you see, Joseph has a dream where God speaks to him and tells him that he needs to relocate his young family. And we read in response to that dream, Matthew chapter 2, "So he got up, took the child and his mother during the night and left for Egypt." My wife Kay and I recently sold our house and moved in Colorado. I say recently, it was actually 13 months ago, but we're still unpacking, so I feel better if I say recently. But just imagine I mean, we experience the challenges of moving, all that packing up and purging and trying to find things when we got to the new home. But Joseph hears from God, get out of town, and he relocates in the middle of the night. He's commanded to vacate his warm bed and now wake his wife and emigrate immediately. And the young family slip away in the shadows, blinking their eyes against confusion and sleep, and surely praying that the baby won't cry. And they go to Egypt, a traditional place of asylum for Jews in political danger. And that late night trek there also fulfilled Old Testament prophecy, Hosea chapter 11 and verse 1. Emigrating during nightfall. Now that's radical. But Joseph, the righteous man, well, he heard the whisper of the Holy Spirit and he obeyed. And this was just one of four dreams that Joseph had. He had a dream about the future hope. Marry Mary, she's carrying the Savior. Dream number two is the one that I just described. Get out of town, go to Egypt. Dream number three was the return from Egypt. And then the fourth one was the instruction to settle the family in Galilee. Joseph doesn't usually get the credit for his sensitivity to the supernatural revelation of God, but he had the ability to be steered by the divine choreographer because he had a sensitive heart and he was radically obedient too. I have many aspirations for the new year. I'd like to be just a little thinner and quite a lot fitter. But one of my aspirations would be to have a fresh openness and availability to the whisper of God in my life, to hear what he's saying. Maybe you'd like to join me. Joseph was righteous, and part of his righteousness, his godliness, was his faithfulness. Let's fast forward 12 years now from the nativity event. It's time for the family to head to Jerusalem for the Passover celebrations, and they do that. But when everything's done, Mary and Joseph head for home, but Jesus lingers. And rather incredibly, Mary and Joseph travel for a day before noticing that their son was gone. Let me humorously say that someone needs to call social services. That does seem rather neglectful. But let's move on. When Jesus finally meets up again with his parents, they're obviously concerned about where he's been. But he says something that was not birthed by any kind of unkindness or malice, but it may well have cut Joseph to the heart. Because remember, Jesus is not his flesh and blood. He is his stepfather. Jesus says in Luke chapter 2, verse 49, "Didn't you know that I had to be in my father's house?" And then we read, "But they did not understand what he was saying to them." When Joseph heard that, that could have spurred a moment of pain as he was reminded that this remarkable child was not, again, his own flesh and blood. And Joseph didn't even get to choose the name of the child or participate in that decision with Mary. Actually, the name Jesus was revealed to him by an angel. He simply had to take the role of naming the child, but not the name of his choice. And then there must have been some struggles around that nativity event as well. No room available for that birth. Confusion, bewilderment, struggle, wrestling to somehow align himself with what God was doing. Receiving the most incredible news in the history of humanity, not only that a child was to be born of a virgin, but that this child was special in the most unique way. So what happened to Joseph? Well, he probably died before the public ministry of Jesus began. And so he never saw the fruit of the investment that he had given. We can't be certain, but Mary alone is mentioned at that first miracle in Cana. She's at the wedding with her son. Joseph is not mentioned. And Joseph doesn't feature at all in Jesus' ministry. So when Mary and Jesus' family stage an intervention because they're concerned that Jesus is out of his mind, there's no mention of Joseph at all. We know for sure that Joseph would have died before the crucifixion and resurrection. How do we know that? Because incredibly, beautifully, Jesus makes arrangements for the care of his mother from the cross. Even as he was struggling with that agony, he commissioned the apostle John to take care of his mother. Joseph wasn't there. He did not see all that unfolded in the most stunning life of Jesus. You know, sometimes life is tough. We don't have answers. We don't see the fulfillment. We invest, we pour out our lives in serving, and we don't see the fruit that we would anticipate. But the call to stay faithful remains. And I'm very conscious that some listeners this evening are going into 2026 with great nervousness and fear. And you are continuing to walk in a circumstance that you would have never chosen. And you perhaps feel hemmed in by question marks, even hanging to your faith by your fingertips. Perhaps you're navigating the ongoing shadow land of grief. You're hoping for better days. If you're trusting in that place, if you're feeling like you're navigating the valley of the shadow of death, but you're still endeavoring to be obedient to God and be faithful, can I just take a moment to say to you, for whatever it might be worth, thank you for your faithfulness. Thank you for bringing the beautiful gift of trust to God in difficult situations that we don't understand and might never understand. Thank you for your faithfulness. God is faithful. And I know it can sound like a cliche, a slogan, but he is good all the time. Well, over the last couple of weeks, we've been thinking about this unsung hero, Joseph. I hope you've been encouraged and strengthened as we put a spotlight on this rather amazing man. And let me just sum up where we've been. We've talked about righteousness. It means being kind, being willing to embrace the vulnerability of changing our minds and admit that we can be wrong. In a culture which is often characterized by excess and just do it thinking, it calls us to self-control. Also, righteous people, they're open and sensitive to the whispers of what God might say to them. Not just that they can gather information and insight, but they put what they hear into practice. They're obedient. Ultimately, righteous people are faithful. As we've seen, Joseph was faithful even though he didn't see the fruit of so much of his investment. So, as we draw near to 2026, I want to wish you not only a very happy new year, but one where you will hear God, one where you will spread around the kindness of the Lord, and one where whatever you're navigating, you will find grace, strength, and peace to be faithful. Have a happy and blessed new year. And thanks as always for joining me. Lucas on Life.